As we watched Hurricane Harvey wreak havoc on southern Texas last week, we might have been both appalled and amazed. Appalled that there were people taking advantage of this disaster by impersonating police officers, going to people's homes, having them evacuate, and then robbing them. And yet, we're also amazed at the way people came together with such courage and generosity. For instance, men like the Houston police officer, Sergeant Steve Perez, whose wife appealed to him on Sunday morning, "Don't go, don't go," and he said, I have to go and do my duty. I have to do my job. He was subsumed by floodwaters, and his body was found a week ago today on August the 29th. How we handle and react to life crises can be a barometer of the state of our soul. And so in Texas, we saw some souls that were just there to take advantage of others, to do whatever they could to get what they wanted. And then we had other souls who were willing to even lay down their life, like Sergeant Perez. Today, St. Paul speaks about what we would call the great crisis. And here he couches it in the language of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's helpful to know that 1 Thessalonians, the letter that we heard from this evening, is St. Paul's earliest letter. It was written around the year 51 AD. And at this time, Paul and the other Christians within the community really anticipated that the second coming of Jesus Christ would happen very soon. As we read Paul's later letters, we realize that there is a change in perspective. But here, he says, "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape." Okay, we say, but what do we do with this? The second coming didn't happen in Paul's lifetime, and here we are 2,000 years later, and the second coming still has not come. But this is where I think we are invited to ponder what happened last week in Houston and southern Texas. We can live out our lives with a sense that each day will unfold one after another, and it will just go on. But we know, even personally, because of the floods that affected Calgary in 2013, things can change in an instant. We can experience this on a civic level, a provincial, a national level, and indeed we experience it on a personal level. Illness comes, relationships end, marriages end, there's unemployment, there's bereavement, to name just four. I think what Paul is trying to teach us this evening is to remind us to consider never to take life for granted. We are to live both thankfully, and each day we are to live attentively. Listen to how Paul puts it. "But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." One of the things that we have been gifted with as Christians, because of what God has revealed to us most fully in the person of Jesus Christ, is that our time in this world is relatively short. And even if the Lord's coming is delayed by thousands of years, as Peter in his second epistle speaks of, our lives, when seen in relation to eternity, are like a mist, as the scripture says, here one moment and gone the next. The crisis of death will meet us all. And this isn't so that we're morbid, just the opposite, so that we're able to live now with a purposefulness, of which St. Paul puts this way, "So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober." And this is the hardest thing of all. To live 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years sober awake to God and to God's presence in our lives? It's hard to do. It is so easy because of what we experience in life to fall asleep and to neglect God, to neglect our soul. But I love the language Paul uses here. Repeatedly, he says, "Beloved, those who are dear to me, be attentive, be awake, stay sober in light of the final day." And that, of course, could be the day of our death, or it could be the final day, the day when Christ will come again. What Paul would have us hear tonight is, don't live unaware of the time on the watch. Not the watch that goes click-clock so much, but the spiritual watch. And so he concludes with these words: "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing." Now, let me say something very briefly about the wrath of God. We have to think of God's wrath in two ways: his passive wrath and his active wrath. And in this world, in the present, more often than not, it's God's passive wrath that's being exercised, whereby he gives us over to ourselves. If we say to God, "God, I don't want your will," God says to us, "Then have your will." But clearly the scripture also speaks of God's active wrath, that there will ultimately be a day of judgment where every evil, every selfishness, every self-preoccupied, self-centered sin will have to be judged by the one who is pure. But God is not, for us, the God of wrath. No, he is the one through whom we are obtaining salvation. And this is why we need the church, because it's within the context of the body of Christ that we are to encourage one another. We are to support one another. We are to cry with one another. We are to be present to one another in such a way to say, keep on going. Don't give up. Don't fall asleep. And so the church is God's alarm clock. The church is that community that, with the psalmist from Psalm 27, where David prayed these words, this is to be our prayer too: "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." What a beautiful way to think about heaven, seeing God's goodness in the land of the living. So the psalm ends with, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. And wait for the Lord." This present life has a lot of waiting, but it's to be an active waiting, it's to be an attentive waiting, because it's our prayer that as we continue to cultivate the virtues of faith, hope, and charity in the present, we will be a people whose hearts overflow with encouragement as we await our Lord.